presentation that was made by Lord Ashrapali. In his introduction, he stated very clearly that he had many questions unanswered about the Quran, and he is a Christian, and he said there, to quote his words, many questions unanswered even today. We're confident that what we say and what is in the Quran, if he had read the Quran or he had followed the Quran, then his questions would have been answered. He says very clearly that death is fundamental to the forgiveness of our sins. I want to state that that is the reason that many people hold on or try to argue that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Because if they accept the truth as stated in the Bible itself, then there is nothing left of Christianity. So the reason that they hold on to this concept that he died on the cross, because that is Christianity. Even though the facts are there from the Quran, from the Bible, from historical evidence, yet they hold on to that blindly. He quoted Mark 16:33-34 to say, an extremely sick man could not have moved the stone. I'm very happy that he identified that the individual in the tomb was alive, but incapable of moving the stone. Another argument that he presented is that, why wasn't the body produced dead or alive? That is a very weak argument, because if the body was produced, if Jesus had shown himself alive, what would the Jews have done to him? They would have really killed him. So he had to hide. And whenever he came out from hiding, he disguised himself. Jesus appeared to his only to his friends. Well, of course, that is explained. We know that why. He also stated that 1400 years later, why does the Quran tell about these incidents? That is very clear, my brothers and my sisters. The Quran talks about these things to correct the misinformation that was given. The Quran tells us the truth about these things. Now, to refer to our brother, Mr. Heath's presentation, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the famous quotation. If the same word says that Jesus died, and the same word we are quoting to show you that he didn't die, isn't that enough evidence to show you that there is some corruption in that book? What more evidence do you want? He's asking for evidence. The same book we are quoting to show you that he died, and the same book is saying that he didn't die, then what else are you looking for? He says that there is no evidence of change in the Bible. Now, our position on that, our belief on that is based on the Quranic verse 2:75. He says, do you then hope that they would believe in you, speaking to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a party from among them indeed used to hear the word of Allah, then altered it after they had understood it and they know it. So we are not talking off the top of our head. We are talking based on our book. He said that the book was inspired, that Muslims believe in it, the book that it was inspired, but why do we believe in it? Yes, we accept that the Bible was inspired. Yes, we accept that the Injil or the book to Moses was inspired, but we know it was not protected because it wasn't the last. Allah, knowing his system, is going to send a prophet, Muhammad, the comforter that you know well, that is going to come. And who is going to give the final message that will be protected? So we know the Bible and the original form was revealed by God. We know that. We don't disagree with that. We know that the prophet Jesus was the prophet of God, but his words were not protected. This is the distinction of the Quran, where God says that he has revealed the Quran and he will protect it. There is also a challenge in the Quran. If you do not believe that this is the book of God, clearly it's stated in the Holy Quran. And if you have doubts that this comes from somebody other than Allah, then produce a chapter like it. And this is the challenge from the Quran, from Allah himself, unto the Muslims, unto the non-Muslims, sorry, unto the people who disbelieve in the Quran. And to my Christian friends here today, if you believe that the Quran is from Allah, then write a chapter like it. This is Allah's challenge unto you. He further went on to say, though this is, we recognize this is not part of the debate on the death, but we need to report it, that there were variant reading of the Holy Quran. Note that the Quran was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We accept that he was illiterate, he could not have read or write, we accept that, but the Quran was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. It was was recited every day in prayer, so there is no case that he can change. If I stand up today without the Quran, remove all the Quran from the face of the earth, there is the Quran in the memory of the people, because that is God's word, and he has chosen to protect it. Thank you very much.
I want to make two points concerning the authenticity of the Holy Quran and that of the Bible. I give you a quotation here from Plain Truth, June 1993, concerning the Bible. The heading is, "The Bible is not free from errors." The original manuscripts of the Bible, called autographs by scholars, perished through use or decay. Today we have only copies far removed in time from the originals. Mistakes by individuals by hand were often repeated by other scribes. As a result, there are an estimated 200,000 variant readings in the New Testament. Compare that to the Holy Quran, where every single word was written another 100 years, or 70 or 80 or 150 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But immediately the word was revealed, there were scribes writing out that there. And there's one copy of the Quran, there was always one copy of the Holy Quran. That what this man did was to standardize that Quran. Then from now on you will get this copy and not any other copy. And he compared his copy with all the others, the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. He compared them. It was an arbitrary action. He did research before he did it. But I want to tell you something also. Allah has promised to protect the Holy Quran. There are many discrepancies in the Bible. You all know that. I can't go to that now. But hear what the Holy Quran tells people. Will they not meditate on the Quran? And if it were from any other than Allah, they would have found in it many a discrepancy. Many a discrepancy, not one. This is a challenge that has gone out for 1500 years, brothers and sisters. Not even to up till today, no one can produce a discrepancy in the Holy Quran. No one can prove that one word or one vowel point was changed in the Holy Quran. The original text is the Holy One. And this is the only book, and Christian authors say this, this is the only book that has regained in its original form from the beginning until the present day. No other book. Thank you very much, brother. So that's my case.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, and I have some colleagues, Ashraf and myself would like to pick just a few of the things that have been stated and offer an in-depth response to them. I want to pick up the comment that was made that blood doesn't flow from a living body. Well, I think blood does flow from living bodies. You only have to pierce yourself to prove that. The whole problem with the idea that Jesus didn't really die, but he somehow resuscitated and came back, is that anyone who loses consciousness, and we were told that he lost consciousness, our friends have told us that they believe he lost consciousness, any crucifixion victim who loses consciousness dies within a matter of about 20 minutes, because the fluid accumulates in their lungs, and that eventually causes death quite quickly. Now, Jesus was not brought down from the cross immediately. There was time for Joseph of Arimathea to go to Pilate to beg for the body. There was a delay while Pilate sent someone to check whether the body was dead before he gave the body away. And then Joseph has to go, first of all, to buy some linen to act as grave clothes. But that couldn't have been completed in, let's say, 20 minutes, as required, if Jesus was there unconscious. Now, there's another problem for the idea of the idea that he kind of swooned, that Jesus just passed out and then he came back to life. And that is that when the spear was put into him, they came out blood and water. Now the water could only have been from the lungs or the pericardium, that's the area around the heart. Now that means that the spear thrust must have been very deep, right into the area around the heart, this pericardium. Now that, it would have meant therefore that the spear had to pass through the diaphragm in order to reach the lungs and therefore through either the spleen or the liver. And if you look in a butcher's shop, you'll see how spleen and liver bleed profusely after death. Now, there's no question that that would have been enough to kill anyone, even in full health, let alone a crucified man. So, at best, if he was still alive after the spear thrust, he would have been dying from his wounds. He's then shut up in a cold tomb without food or water for at least 48 hours. Now, apart from the loss of blood caused by the scourging and the wounds in his hands, etc., they would almost certainly have become infected. Don't forget, he would be unable to move at that time. Now, he's then supposed to have somehow emerged, say after 2 days at least. And they managed to open this stone from the inside, when it was so big. And then he walks at least 7 miles on feet that have been pierced with nails to Emmaus. Now really, this is beyond all possibility. And so everything is crying out against that idea that Jesus didn't really die, but he only swooned. I want to pick up a couple of comments on some other issues. It was stated that the tomb was sealed so that he might die by suffocation, or because they had doubts as to whether he was really dead. That is not what the text says. They said that because they thought the disciples might come and steal the corpse. That's the reason that the text actually gives. We're told by our friends that the soldiers treated Jesus kindly. That's why they found Simon to carry the cross. The record makes it very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered the maximum abuse from the soldiers, the spitting, the mocking as to whether he was really the Son of God. He started out carrying the cross, we're told in one of the gospel records, but then in Mark's record, we're told that they carried Jesus to the cross. So it seems that he started out carrying the cross, and then he collapsed. He was carried, they got him to the cross, the modern versions say, and Simon was grabbed hold of to actually carry the piece of wood. After the idea that Jesus went to Kashmir and died there, well, many Muslims would not agree with that. Islam claims that Jesus was the comforter, sorry, that Muhammad was the comforter that was promised by the Lord Jesus in John. But there he says that when the comforter comes, he'll lead you into all truth. So then why is there such a massive difference of opinion amongst Muslims as to where Jesus is? The majority of Muslims I met believe that Jesus was taken up to heaven and that he's going to come back to earth and he will die on earth. Not that he went to Kashmir and died there. And as for Kashmir being a lofty place of meadows and springs, how can it be said in all seriousness that that only applies to Kashmir? That applies to many, many places on the earth today.
Am I through my time?
Last point then, Stephen Fowler was quoted as stating that Jesus was faint when on the cross. Well, we'd all agree that he was faint in the sense that he lost so much blood, etc. But Stephen Fowler clearly believed throughout his book that Jesus died. Now, what Stephen Fowler says, didn't say, is not an important thing. But I mention that point to show that it seems to me that this argument against the death of Jesus is what I've called intellectually desperate. Along with the statement too that Jesus ate after his supposed resurrection and therefore he couldn't have been of divine nature. Well, he does say when he gives the Last Supper, he says, I will not do this, and he took bread and drank wine. He says, I won't do this again until I drink it again with you in my Father's kingdom. So even with divine nature, one is still able to eat. The angels have visited Abraham. They ate. They appeared as men, but they ate. And he cooked them food. And so we're not going to exist as spirits, but being it and having divine nature, God's salvation means that we as real, tangible people live life with God's nature, but we're still capable of eating, drinking, recognizing each other. You will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, Jesus promised us. Thank you.
As a corrupted and mutilated book, I will never, never do that as far as the Quran is concerned. The calculator works with several modes. One mode changes the function. Several modes. The brain is the most complex thing in the entire universe. And I do find that Muslims only reason with one mode. They refer to pagan beliefs. I don't want reference to pagan beliefs. Quran, Vedas, Bible. When we look at the death of Jesus and if God answered his prayer, if we had time, we would like to show that Jesus had need for days. He was scourged. As he went to the crucifixion, he was unable to carry it anymore. Simon had to help him. Eventually, I agree, the soldiers fetched him to the cross and crucified him. But our friends talk about the spear thrust, the blood, the 6 hours on the cross, and the prayer of Jesus. No, God did answer the prayer of Jesus. He answered the prayer of all his servants, and he answered the prayer of Jesus. And it can be shown by Bible sites that the
spear shot was the thing that killed the Lord Jesus. He was alive when the spear was thrust into his side. Blood flowed, and then he died. That was the answer of his father to his son. He didn't prolong the suffering for 3 and 4 days. The spear thrust killed Jesus, and that was the answer to his prayer. Our friends mentioned that the sour vinegar was there to put him to sleep. Again, they reasoned one more. Go back to Numbers chapter 6, and there we find that Jesus was the greatest Nazarite of all time. And when the vow of a Nazarite had been completed, when he had finished the work that God had given to him, then he drank wine. Check Numbers chapter 6. And Jesus refused the wine on the first occasion. On the second occasion, he drank it because he had completed the work that God had given him to do. And so, you know, we can just reason with one more. Mary mistaking Jesus, I swam the Corinthian River, a distance of 7 miles. And whilst I was in the middle of my swim, news went home that I was dead. I was drunk. And when I walked around subsequently days after, people looked at me, they couldn't recognize me. You know, they thought I was dead. My own brother couldn't recognize me at the Canadian airport. And yet this woman, you know, what suffered so much, traumatic suffering. This woman, it was early in the morning, it was not even bright light, and she never expected Jesus to be raised from the dead. And she mistook him for the gardener. And so it's illogical, to say that it wasn't Jesus. Jonah 3 days and 3 nights. I don't believe that Jonah was alive in the whale's belly. I believe that he was dead. And Jonah was resurrected as well. The emphasis in ours, Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights. You see, the Muslim reason are one more. We can begin to reason his head went in first, his one foot went in first, or his right foot went in first. That's not the essence. The essence that Jesus was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. My nephew, who I respect as the best Muslim out of all the Muslims, he went to Kashmir. He looked at the footprint of who they claim was Jesus, and he said he's a gigantic footprint. And he said no, uncle, that's not the footprint of the Lord Jesus. And I would like to, for my other friend, I would like to quote here. Here is what it says about translations of the Quran. I, Muhammad Taqiyuddin Ben Abdul Qadir Al Hilali, in our translation, set out to correct serious mistakes which the previous translator had omitted. The Lord Chief of the House of Israel. The answer is in there, Jeremiah chapter 6. The Lord Chief of the House of Israel is not the 10 tribes, it's all the Israelites who have gone astray. And so again, the answer is in the Bible. We don't have to go out of the Bible to find it. Look again, they refer to Jesus being in Kashmir. People say that Jesus went to Kashmir, India, Afghanistan, and surrounding provinces. Matovic, a man who wrote about Jesus going to India, said he went before he died on the cross. Others said he went after he died on the cross. What are these people saying? They looked at all these countries, and all these confusing writers went right in the Bible. Right in the Bible, you read well that he came to the Jews who are lost spiritually. And that's why we're saying that our Muslim friends only have one mode of reasoning. And they have to expand their minds and look into deep spiritual things. And so what we're saying, that the glorious resurrected body of the Lord Jesus, that was a spirit body, and it could manifest himself. You know, however he wanted. And that was why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a resurrection chapter. And he talks about the resurrection of Jesus. Without the resurrection of Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. There is no hope for us at all in God's kingdom. And the resurrection is what, you know, we have to depend on. If we don't depend on the resurrection, we believe that it's Bible teaching. When we die, we finish with, like a mosquito or like a dog. And the final point that I would like to make is that, again, the Muslims reason in just one mode. One of my friends said that when Jesus sent his disciples to bring a donkey, he said that Jesus sent his disciples to steal a donkey. Another prophet popular Muslim who writes many books. He says that when Jesus rode a donkey, that was a donkey circle. Now, if our Muslim friends don't stop doing these things, then we will have no alternative to say that people like them have a donkey mentality. So let us open our understanding. Let us delve into spiritual things and not be on the level of carnality and sensual. Let us get down to deep spiritual things instead of reasoning superficially.
How much more?
30 seconds. And so I'm very glad that this debate was arranged, and on behalf of the Christadelphians, we would like to say that we are willing at any time to take on any subject. Is the Bible the word of God? Is the Holy Spirit Muhammad? We're willing to take you on any time.
I will take exactly 1 minute. I made a research into finding the original manuscript, and I found out that it's beside God in heaven, the original manuscript of the Quran. The one that was written on palm leaves and animal skins, that is illogical. That is not available. When I talk about manuscript, I'm not talking about something that is somebody's head. I am talking about what is written on parchment by people. That is what I mean by a manuscript, not what is in anybody's head. Does the original manuscript, the first men who put down their writing implement on whether palm leaf or whatever, the first men who put down their pen, does the original manuscript of the Quran exist? I came here and I started this debate on a point of law, and I'm shocked that it will be referred to, you know, that we have donkey mentality. The question is beside the point that did Jesus die on the cross, but I would yet answer it. The original manuscripts were written on 1400 years ago. They were written on leaves, leather, wood, and other things. No historian would disagree that the original form of the original Quran is the Quran that we have today. There is no historian who could prove at any point in time, anywhere, that there was a change. So the question doesn't need such an answer. Thank you very much.
Before we have the next question, I would like to
drop out from the record about the mentality.
So you have the next question, please?
1 minute again. The original manuscript, does it exist? I had no answer for that. How old is the oldest manuscript of the Quran?
Thank you.
and sisters, I answered that question already when I was speaking. I will just repeat the verse. Chapter 23, verse 50. In this chapter, God is dealing with all the other prophets whom he saved from death by their enemies. And in the last section here, the last verse in section 3, the Quran mentions Prophet Jesus and his mother. The tomb of Mary is in India. That is a historical fact, as also St. Thomas. It is not only Jesus. And what it says here, and we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign, and we gave them a refuge and a lofty ground, having meadows and cut springs. The Quran does not have to explain and say this name Kashmir or whatever, name change. But the significant description is given, and that is the place everybody knows. Even non-Muslims agree on that. So I wouldn't want to try to prove that no other place, there are other places like that. That's the only thing. Thank you. One of the reasons why I believe that there is more evidence for the Bible being, you know, the one that should guide my life, is because there are predictions about nations which have come to pass. You know, that is the thing that drove me to the Bible. If the Quran, now we would like to have from the Quran, for me to have more confidence in the Quran, from which, you know, we have some statements about Jesus. Give me a passage in the Quran where it makes a prophecy about a nation, a prophecy which has come to pass specifically about a nation. Again, brothers and sisters, this does not deal with the topic. But I'll answer it for general information. The Quran tells us about a people called Gog and Magog. In chapter 18, you'll see there, Gog and Magog, who will sally forth from every elevated place, chapter, to every elevated place. And it has given to us a description of these people. They call them Yajuj and Majuj. These people are the white Caucasian race. That thing is given there, the description is given of them, and the word Yajuj and Majuj, for those who know Arabic will tell you this, they will tell you that that comes from the word Ajra, meaning to burn, and Gog and Magog comes from that. You know why? Because their power will be based on fire, and this is what they use there, the steamships, the whatever power they use, it comes from burning. That is the nation that God says, in the last days, they will come and spread all over the world their philosophy, their power. No one will be able to destroy them. None can destroy the Americans. None can destroy the European races. No other power on earth. And they will spread from every other race. And then he will send his promised Messiah, who will destroy their false beliefs and bring back again the true teachings of the Prophet Jesus and give to Islam its predominance. And this is what it has done in the person of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Sahib. This is the chapter that deals, chapter 18, chapter 21. You can deal with it, you can study them. But again, I wish that my learned brother would stick to this topic. Why go to extraneous things? I would like to say that it's important that I have confidence in the book, you know, before I can really trust it. Okay, I'm told that I'm not on the question, okay, directly on the topic now. Who was it that was crucified? Who was it that was, or let me put it that way, 15 seconds. Let me just change the question. Many people are confused in the world about reincarnation. Millions of people. They're not confused. They believe in reincarnation. And it says that the Quran has come to clarify all these issues. What does the Quran say about reincarnation? Clarify this big issue for us. A Quranic passage about reincarnation. The Quran refuses. Again, but it is off the topic about Jesus. But the Quran says very clearly that you die, never return. It's very clear about that. There is a state we call it Barzakh, and the reference of the hereafter from the Quran is like the womb to this world. While we were in the womb, God nourished us. He gave us food. But that food was different
We didn't eat through our mouth. When we come into this world, we get different sustenance. We eat from this mouth. And when we die from this world, the other body that we get, which we don't know what it is going to be like, is a spiritual body. It will receive food from God, sustenance, but from a different source. We don't know which mouth or how that is going to be. It makes a lot of sense to us, and it comes from our scripture. Thank you very much.
Yes. Of course, the Quran says, when you go into that state of Barzakh, just as a child cannot go back into the womb of your mother, in the same way when you die and you reach that state of Barzakh, you cannot return from your death, you are dead, and whoever you are, whoever great you are, one companion prayed to return to God, he said, I can't answer that prayer. He said, God answered him, I can't answer that prayer. Once you are dead, you are dead. There is no return. So it's nothing of reincarnation in Islam, nothing whatsoever. Thank you.